Well, upcoming on Monday evening will be the beginning of Passover for the Jewish people, and then the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. They basically talk about it as Passover and unleavened bread as one Passover itself. And our guest always on this broadcast, when a Jewish holy day is in focus, is of course the National Director of Friends of Israel, Steve Herzig. He's written an excellent book. In fact, two of them, has two different volumes, Jewish Culture and Customs. These are must reads as far as your understanding of Judaism and especially their culture and their customs. Steve, why is it? Do you have any idea why they refer to not only Passover, which is a one-day feast according to Leviticus chapter 23, and then the seven-day feast of unleavened bread? Why did they refer to it all as Passover?
Well, you know, the term Passover actually refers to the sacrificial animal itself. And so, you know, it says the Lord's Passover. So it's really referring to the sacrificial lamb. It was a one-day event, as you noted, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread comes together. Most Jewish people, in my experience growing up, the whole idea of the separate feast was never an issue to talk about. So they just lump it together and call it Passover.
Let me, first of all, look at Passover and go back to the record, the biblical record of it, in the book of Exodus chapter 12. Explain that to us, and then I'll talk about how unleavened bread is a part of the Passover situation. We'll get to that in a moment. But think back with us, reflect for us on Exodus chapter 12 and how the first Passover came into existence.
Well, Jimmy, you have Moses and Pharaoh going toe-to-toe. You have Pharaoh, who is representing the false gods. The 10th plague, obviously, is against him, his son, and every firstborn that was born. And so it's a battle between the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the false gods that are there. The last plague is one where blood has to be applied. They're to take a lamb. It is that blood has to be applied on the doorposts. And it says in the scripture, God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Now, that's significant because in my community, we're always talking about the Jewish people this or the Jewish people that, which is fine, but the text doesn't say when I see the Jewish people, I'll pass over, or when I see the nice person, I'll pass over, or the sincere person. It specifically states when I see the blood, I'll pass over, and God told the Jewish people to put the blood there. And in fact, what's interesting is that there were sojourners, there were strangers who went ultimately when the Jewish people left. I always wondered, Jimmy, if the Egyptians, whoever they were, just watched these Jewish people for nine plagues, if they saw them putting blood on the door, I always wondered, what if they did the same thing? I'm convinced that as long as there was blood on the door, he would pass over. So the Jewish people remember the fact that God passed over them. He saved them. They were redeemed where they were let go out of Egypt, and ultimately, under the leadership of Moses, were going to be led to the promised land.
I want to talk about how now then the command for the Jewish people is to observe the Passover and rehearse the story. But first then, let's talk about unleavened bread as I understand it. Unleavened really talking about separation there, because they'd been eating sourdough bread up until that time, and then 7 days of unleavened bread, and then back to sourdough bread, separating the bondage from looking like freedom as they go into the promised land.
Well, to this day, Jimmy, the rabbis will say, and it's in almost every Haggadah I've ever seen, that the leaven represents the evil inclination of your heart. I think that's verified by Jesus himself when he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And what he was stating was that leaven is always symbolic of sin, of error. And God commanded the Jewish people not to have leaven. It is a separation. And I think it's significant that first there was salvation and then there was sanctification. I think there's lessons for the Jewish people there being separated. They had been 400 years living amongst the pagans. There was an immediate salvation, and then they were to separate. And I find that very instructive for us in the church.
When we think about the church now, There is a connection, of course, between the Jewish feast and these feasts specifically for the Jewish people. But there is a connection, interestingly, with what happened there and when Jesus Christ and his disciples sat down that night before he was to be crucified the next afternoon and had a Passover Seder. Now, Exodus 12 tells the Jewish people to do this type of thing every year throughout all of their generations. What is a Passover Seder? Talk to us about how Jesus, in that Last Supper, illustrated that.
Well, he was taking something that all his disciples knew very well about. Here we're celebrating redemption. We're celebrating salvation because of the Passover lamb. It was a one-time event, and after that, they were to remember it year upon year. And what Jesus is going to do, we read about it in Matthew 26, in verse 26, he's taking something that they know full well, and he's going to show them right before it happens that he indeed is the Passover lamb, that he was going to save them, and that they would be sanctified once they are saved. And I think Passover is so instructive to the church because the only way to be saved for the Jewish people was through the blood of the lamb, and the only way for us to be saved is through the blood of the lamb, not the Passover lamb, but Jesus, who is our Passover lamb.
Yes, that is true. It's a very interesting Seder. I would imagine that they did rehearse that Exodus out of the bondage of Egypt in that evening's time together. But the Lord was looking to the future as well, as he was talking about, I'll not partake of this meal or this cup until I do come again. So that has a aspect of prophetic utterance in it as they have that. Well, as I always do, Steve, I want you to be very practical with us. How can we use this Passover season with the friends that are Jewish and in order to be able to introduce them or start to introduce them to the true Messiah, the true Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ?
Well, certainly, Jimmy, as I always say, to those people who have Jewish friends, acquaintances, some even in their own family, to wish them a happy Passover season. It is a wonderful holiday. But there's some other things they could do as well. They can, if they're good friends, they can buy them some macaroons, which is a special Passover dessert. They can extend to them a gift during that time. They could also talk to them about a desire they might have, and I hope some of them do. You know, Jimmy, we could celebrate the Passover, not in a like we have to do it, but I've met so many Christians who have a Seder in their home and bring Christ into it. It'd be wonderful if they said to a Jewish friend, you know, we're thinking of doing one to honor our Passover lamb, and we have questions about what you do at your particular Seder. Well, if they did that, most Jewish people would say, you want to do what? You want to have a Passover? Why would you want to do that? And then that gives great opportunity to share the significance of that Old Testament Passover and why it's so significant for believers.
Wow, Steve, that is so practical. I love talking with you because of Steve's Jewish background and now knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he can bring the two together. And what great advice, practical advice, is how we can reach out to our Jewish friends and neighbors. And this is a great opportunity to do it. You have an 8-day feast that's going to be unfolding, and this will be a great time to make contact and at least show love to your Jewish friends. Remember, Steve has 2 volumes on a study of Jewish culture and customs. This would be a great read for you. You can go to FOI, that's Friends of Israel, FOI.org, and make your order that way. Or I think we have some at prophecytoday.com in our prophecy bookstore as well. Steve, you know, we're going to have to talk again because we have a couple of other feast days coming up here. We'll do that and find out some great practical advice from you as to how to reach out to our Jewish friends. But thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate it.